Let's try that again. Good morning, everybody. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad you're sitting next to me. Amen. Turn to the other side and say, now give me $2. Give me $2. If you mean it. We're so glad that you're here. This is our fourth week of our My Church Challenge. And this week we're going to be looking at the fourth challenge there of what it means to say, this is my church. You know, when you use the word my, it's a personal pronoun. It says, this belongs to me. And there's something to be said when a believer belongs to a fellowship of believers and say, you know what? I'm proud to say this is my church. And I want you to be proud of saying this is your church. And so we had several challenges over the last 3 weeks to really bring home the idea that this is a my church. And in our first week when we gathered together, we talked about what did that mean to be for it to be our church. And in the first week, we talked about authentic community. We said, listen, we want to create an authentic community. And our challenge to everyone, and every week, we gave a challenge every week out, was that you would join a small group or get involved in some education portion of our church and that you would grow. And that's the reality. We had great people signing up for small groups. We got people joining our FBI class. That is not the Federal Bureau of Investigations. That's Frontier Bible Institute. Somebody say amen. And so it filled up, and so we can't even open that class until next semester, but we were excited. That was our first week challenge. In our second week challenge, we had one of our ministers preach, Minister Tommy Leakes. How good was that? Was that pretty good there? We were excited, and he brought a challenge by telling us that we were wired for worship. And here's the reality. When two wires are connected in the right way, power flows through. Somebody say amen. And we are, ladies and gentlemen, as believers, we're wired for worship. And when we connect with God, then the light comes on for people around us. And so we had a challenge that, listen, for the next several weeks as we talk about the My Church Challenge, to wired for worship, we committed that we would come to every service and hear the next level that God has taken us. And then last week we had an awesome opportunity, and we were talking about inviting the invitables. And we talked about what that meant to invite the invitables. We had a challenge for every church member. We gave you three options, or you could take them all. Number one, invite somebody to the Easter egg hunt. There are thousands of people that don't know the Lord, thousands of people that don't go to church or are looking for someone just to love on them. And we said, listen, this week, would you invite someone to the Easter egg hunt that has children and say, come on out, there's something for you? Or even invite them to the Easter service. That's an awesome opportunity for you to participate in the building of the kingdom of God. And finally, the challenge that we gave to everybody, and this is the one that I did personally and that I hope that you did as well, was that you would commit to pray 8 words for 8 days. And here's where here's what the 8 words were. Read with me. Lord, give me your heart. Say it again. My question to you is, how are you doing? How's the challenge going in your life? Have you taken hold of the My Church Challenge and start marching forward and say, you know what? I'm proud of Frontier Church. Let me say this. I am so proud of my church. I have heard so many people comment, man, I don't know who that Frontier Church is, but I see them guys everywhere. They wear their shirts everywhere. Who's worn their shirts during the week and the month of this year? Look at that. Look around. That's people who are proud of being a part of Frontier Church. Give yourselves a hand right now. And today we're going to discover the fourth challenge. That's an incredible challenge. And we did it in a way that I think that you will be excited to hear the word of God concerning it. And today we're going to pick up our fourth challenge. But our fourth challenge is really a question. It's a question. And I want you to write this down. This is our takeaway for today. Here's the question. What will you invest your life in? What will you invest your life in? Now listen, you may be 16, 17, 18, 40, 45, 90, 92, 102. Praise the Lord if that's you. Amen. But everyone has to invest their life into something. An investment is no more than putting what you have into something you cannot see, believing for a future gain. You know, let me give you an example out of the Bible. Jesus got in the boat with Peter, and he said, can I get in the boat? Peter said, yeah, come, I'm fixing my nets, but go ahead, bro. And Jesus gets in the boat, And he says, listen, I just finished preaching. Would you launch out a little bit from the land? I need you to drop your nets. And Peter said, man, I'm good at this. This is what I do. This is how my mind works. I'm intellectual, man. I can fish. I know how to do this, bro. This is my job. But just so we don't create a scene, because you got a crowd out here, I'll do what you say. And he launches out a little bit from the land. He says, now, Jesus, now just drop your nets over on that side of the boat. And I know you can't see down to the bottom. And I know you can't see if there's any fish because you usually fish in the shallow side where you can see the fish. And it's easy to fish where you can see. But the Bible says we have to believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So he says, I want you to drop your nets on this side of the boat, not where you can see it, but where you can't see it, because when you see it, you don't need no faith. But when you can't see it, you need God to do it. And so they dropped their nets, and the Bible says it was a net-busting, boat-breaking kind of blessing that just blew their mind. Can you say that again? Net-busting, boat-breaking, blew their... I didn't think I could do it. It takes faith when it comes to dropping your nets. And it took investing in the Word of God, what Jesus said to him, in order for him to get a return that was more than he could even handle. The Bible says, give, and it shall be given, pressed down. Watch this. The best way I can describe it, hand me that, please. Hand me that. No. Yeah, right there. Bring that to me. Okay, John, stand right here. Come here. See, this is a can of Mountain Dew, okay? Hold this mic while I'm talking, okay? Hold it right there. I want you to don't move, okay? So this is my Mountain Dew, okay? Right? It said when you give, it's pressed down like they can press it in this can right here. And then and it says when you give, God says he'll put it in this can, right? And then he'll press down, shaking together, the Bible says, right? Luke 6:38. I'm just following the Bible, bro. Just following the Bible. Luke 6:38, and then it says, running over. You're lucky I drank all of it already, brother. The reality is, just like a can of soda, God compresses all the blessings down inside. And then when you give, he shakes that can up. And when you pop the top, oh, good God Almighty. How many want to pop the top on your blessing? Hello, somebody. Let me tell you the way that they pop the top on your blessing. You give a little bit here, and God will go all over your life. That's Greek, by the way. That's ksh. Write that down. Investing is the process of putting something in now, expecting a future gain. Ladies and gentlemen, the early church knew all about this. And I want to, listen, this isn't a message about you giving money, because you know what? We already did the offering. Amen, somebody. So this isn't a trick. You can just let your guards down, let your hair down. If you ain't got none like me, praise the Lord, let your eyebrows down. That's all you need to do. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to teach and learn what the Lord really thinks about giving. What does he really feel about it without the stress? What does the Word literally say about it? The early church was amazing. I want to read what happened in the early church. Turn to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to start at verse 44. And I want us to read how the early church mindset was about investing their life into something, in particular, the kingdom of God. We could put our money in a lot of places. We could put it in our clothes, our hair, our nails, our cars. We could put it in our houses. But what about, let me just challenge you. When was the last time you made a decision to invest in God's kingdom? A decision to say, you know what? I'm not just coming to church. I want to invest because I want a return on my investment. Watch what happened to the early church. Let's read together verse 44. Read. Watch this. They met together where? 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 In other words, they came to church. They met at church. They decided, this is my church. They all gathered together, but I want you to watch how many times this word is used. And they shared everything they had. He didn't say something. They shared. Verse 45, read it. Uh-huh. Listen, they didn't have a tight fist. They let go. I need Chris, come on up here. I need an illustration here. I need you to do something. I need you to hold this. Then I need you to hold this here. Okay. Now, I'm going to play like I'm God with a little G, okay? Little G. Come on down here. All right, now, Chris, I want to bless you, okay? I want to bless you with a bottle top. This bottle top represents $1 million, okay? Here. Bro. You got one each hand. Here. There you go, bro. You the man. That's God. Listen, God can't get anything to you unless you let something out of your... Come on, somebody. Come on, pick it up again. Watch this. Pick it up again. All right, now I'm trying to bless you. Don't let it go, okay? Here. I'm trying to give you something here. And money just rolls off of you. Just I'm trying to give you something here, and I'm trying to put it on your life. But every time, because you're holding on so tight, I'm trying to give you something. But in order to give you something, you've got to let. Boy, that was slow going down, wasn't it? It was like, oh. Anyway, you got to let something. I'm going to be 44 Easter Sunday. Isn't that awesome? Whose birthday is on Easter? That's like awesome. Anyway, God's trying to get you something, but you've got to let go what's in your hands. Now, the reason, thank you so much, Chris. Give Chris a hand, amen. The reason this is important, ladies and gentlemen, is that Jesus understood this. The early church understood this. Acts chapter 2, they sold their property and possessions and shared the money they had with those in what? In need. They saw a need. Go to verse 46. Read. They even ate with generosity. They shared. See that word shared keep coming back? Verse 47, watch this. What's the result of being a giving church? Go. Now, here's what I thought about when I read this passage. Why did they sell their possessions? What in the world? Why would they do that? I mean, why don't every church who claims to be a church sell everything they have and give it up? Yes, y'all like, I heard that out there. You're like, I'm with you. Why did they do it in the New Testament church? What did they mean? What was the context? Because context determines meaning. So here's the reality. In Jerusalem, it was the day of Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. It was 50 days after the resurrection of Christ. Christ's resurrection we're about to celebrate that on Easter. We're imagine Easter, and then we're 50 days out from Easter, it's Pentecost. For 40 days, Jesus walked with them. 10 days, he went up, at the beginning of 10 days, he goes up into a cloud. They're in a room praying. The Holy Ghost falls on the room, and then that's where we get the story of Pentecost, 50, penta meaning five. And they got on the roof and began to speak in an unknown language. All of the people had gathered Jews from around the world into town to celebrate the feast of Pentecost, and they saw this marvel on top of the house. And they're like, what is going on? And in that moment, the Apostle Peter stood up and preached what it meant. And he said, Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, died on the cross, resurrected on the third day. And this performance of miracles is as a result of what Jesus did. And the people looked at them and said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? And as a result of that sermon, that was just an amazing sermon, 3,000 people gave their life to Jesus in one day. Man, wouldn't that be awesome if after our Easter egg hunt, and on Sunday morning with 3,000 people gave their life to Christ, wouldn't that be awesome? Who will believe for that? I'm believing for that kind of miracle. Amen. But in that miracle was a problem. All of these people were just traveling temporary to come to the feast. They didn't plan on staying. They were at the Days Inn and the Sleep Inn. Give me another hotel around here. The Hungry Inn. I've never heard of that one. The Hungry Inn? Oh, Comfort Inn. Amen. Somebody else give. I want to go to the Hungry Inn. Amen. The Microtel. Someone give me another one. Motel 6. They leave the what on? Give me another one. Holiday Inn. Hotel. Motel. Holiday Inn. Y'all know what I'm talking about over here. Yeah, somebody. Woo, suck it. I mean, anyway. It's people that, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand. All the hotels in the room were taken. There was no more room. And then some people ran out of money. But they experienced God. They didn't want to leave. How many want to experience God in such a way you don't even want to leave church? I mean, that's real church. That's real church. And there were life change going on, and people's hearts were being changed. And there were people in the local church that were watching 3,000 people get caught up in God, and they said, we can't let them leave now. We can't let them walk out of town right now. What can we do? And they began to pull out of their pockets and sow into the kingdom, and they began to invest their life into someone else's life. And they said, you know what? I got some land that I don't need. I got a home that I just have that I really don't need, don't use, and I got some money in my bank account. I'm going to give it so that the kingdom of God can expand. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say to you, there may be some things in your life you don't need. Listen, you know what we're trying to do? We're trying to build a church so large in this city that we have enough room to fit everybody in this city, in that building. What if we had a building like that where we can feed the homeless, shelter the broken wives and the broken husbands, help the drug addicts? We can go and preach the gospel day in, day out. We can have an internship from around the world coming to Leesburg, serving Leesburg and Lake County. What if we brought our resources together to build a church like that? That's what we're doing. And that's what they did in the early church. And you know what they did? They invested in the lives of other people. And here's the thing about investment. You always want a return on your investment. What kind of return did they get when they gave to the kingdom of God? The Bible says that they gave to help 3,000 people get connected. Imagine those people. Maybe it was 100 of them, 200 of them in heaven right now. They gave that 3,000 could get connected. But now they look down on the local church. Statistics say out of 6.9 billion people in the world, 2.1 billion people are Christians. Somebody say amen. We operate more than one-third of the population of this planet because of those 1 or 200 people who invested in the local church. Now investment went from 3,000 to 2.1 billion. Because they were willing to give to the kingdom. And it was all centered around the day of Pentecost. I want to show you how God uses feasts to instruct us in giving. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Exodus chapter 34. And we're going to talk about another feast and how God teaches us to give through that feast, like he did on the day of Pentecost. I want you to go down to Exodus 34. And I want you to write this phrase down, please. God wants us to experience his provision power. Can you say that with me? God wants. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, some of you have never experienced God in the area of your finances. You've never done it. Because that safe area you keep close to chest. Now, he could touch everywhere else, but he can't touch your money. So you've never experienced what it feels like when God moves right across your face. You know, I was sharing with a couple came to me, and their car broke down, and a member of our church told them, trust God, don't fear. And they came to me and told me they've heard testimonies of how people share how God comes through in a miraculous way. But God said to them, go to the car lot and get a car. And they're like, I can't afford a car. We can't do that. We don't have what it takes to do that. We don't have the money, the income to be able to just pay that money every month. There's just no way to do it. And the word the woman spoke in their life was, don't fear, go in faith. Don't fear, go in faith. And what did they do? They went. And all of a sudden, the bank was like, you know what? You know, we love what we see. I'll tell you what. We'll give you the money for your down payment. We'll give you another set account just for extra money if you want it. And we'll give you another set of money to buy the car. How's that for you? They're like, oh, God, just move right before my face. Now they're driving a brand new car. They said, you know what? We never thought in a million years we'd ever drive a new car again. But they trusted God in their giving. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to do the same. I want to show you what Jesus says. God said to Moses, Exodus 34 and 1, then the Lord told Moses, chisel out two stone tablets like the first one. Moses had two tablets he broke, and God sent him back up to the mountain to spend some time with him. And he says, I will write on them the same words that were on the tablets you smashed. Verse 2, be ready in the morning to climb up to Mount Sinai, and everybody say, present yourself to me on the top of the mountain. In other words, there's going to be a call for every single person in the room to present yourself before God, and that God can look at you with a clear heart, and you can look at him with a clear heart and say, God, money isn't my issue, God. You can have what's in my hand, but I know you want what's in my heart. Every one of us, God's going to call you up that mountain. There's not a person in this room that's going to get away with that. Because God says, listen, I can bless you in the spiritual and I can bless you in the natural. But will you let me in that area of your life called the financial? Because if I'm not the God of that area, someone else is. And when you realize that God is the source of all that you have, and he is the one, he is the Alpha and the Omega and the everything in between, then you can trust God for anything. But if you think for a moment that you can do this by yourself, it's foolishness. I can't do this by myself. Look at your neighbor and say, I can't do it. I can't do it. No, you didn't say it like a man. You guys, I can't do it. What will you invest your life in? Watch what happens. Verse 3, he says, no one else may come with you. He says, nobody can do this for you. Can I challenge my husband? All those who are married in here, can you raise your hands, please? Amen. Amen. May I challenge you? Husbands, you can't give for your wife. Wives, you can't give for your husbands. Every one of you have to be a giver. Everyone has to know that it ain't because my wife writes a check, oh, well, she took care of it. No, God's still going to call you up to the mountain yourself. If your husband wasn't there, if your wife wasn't there, would you give? Come on, somebody. Somebody say amen. Say, we love you, Pastor. Then give me $2. I mean it. Give my $2. Watch what he says. In fact, no one is to appear anywhere on this mountain but you. Don't even let your flocks or herds gaze near the mountain. He says, I don't care what you have. I'm really not after your money. I'm after your heart. That's what I want. Now, watch this. I love what happens next. I want you to go down to verse 10. God, and I want to say this to you. God wants to display his awesome power to you. Here's what the Lord said. The Lord says, listen, I am making a covenant. He's telling you, you can trust me. Listen, I am making a covenant with you in the presence of all your people. Listen, God wants to bless you in such a public way that when your enemies look at you, they go, my God, how? I don't even like her, but my God, that had to be God. He wants to bless you. Listen, I want to make a covenant in the presence of all your people, the ones that said you'll never make it, the ones that said you're going to fail, the ones who said you ain't never going to come over, you never get out. God said, let me just do it, please. Let me bless you in front of them. The Bible says of David, thou preparest a table in the presence of God's greatest audience is in front of your enemies. He says, I want to bless you in the presence of all your people. I will perform miracles that have never been performed anywhere in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people around you will see. How many want people to see God's blessings on your life? Listen to me. Listen. I'm trying to get you to understand giving, because giving isn't about, oh, the church is all about money. They're all about, y'all better listen. Some unbeliever started that mess. That didn't come from the church, because the church has always been given to what God gave to them. Do you understand? The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And what? They that dwell therein. But the Bible goes on in Psalms 115 says, but it pleased the Lord to give the earth to men. He gave it to us. Meaning that we got to take care of our own stuff. So we can't be afraid to give to what God has given to us. Watch this. I love what it says here. And all the people around you will see the power of the Lord and the awesome power I will display for you. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm talking about you. I want you to take that finger like this. Everyone, point it straight at me, please. Point it straight at me. Point it. I want you to point it. It's okay. Point it, and then I want you to turn that thing right here. Say, it's talking to me. It's talking to me. He wants to display that power to me. Watch what he says here in the Word. I love what it says. But watch this. This is very critical, ladies and gentlemen. But listen carefully to everything. Listen. 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 Shh. Listen carefully to everything I say to you today. When God speaks a word, we don't wait till tomorrow. We've got to stop and move. Listen to what he says. Listen carefully to everything I command you today, then, it's an if-then clause. If you listen and you act on what I'm telling you, I'm not just going to take care of your past or your present, but I'm going to move ahead in your future. Listen to what he says. Listen carefully to everything I command you today. Then I will go what? Ahead of you. I mean, you wondering about today, but I'm working out tomorrow. You worried about yesterday's bills, and I'm taking care of tomorrow's. I'm going to go ahead of you, and look what he says. But listen, I will go ahead of you and drive out the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Submites. Just want to keep going with that one. That's awesome. God doesn't just take out the enemies of our financial past, but he takes on our enemies of our financial future. And if we're willing to come up to mountain and be real with him, give out of our heart and not afraid of what anybody else thinks, he will go ahead of us and fight our battles. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say to you right now, you already gave in the offering. Ain't nobody trying to get another dime out of you. I'm trying to get another dime in you. Hello, somebody. Because you know what? If you walk out of here blessed, if you walk out of here understanding what I'm saying, I don't ever have to worry about that building and those people that will fill that building, that will be people that will be a destiny of this city. I'll never have to say another word. Watch this. What will you invest your life in? Point number two. We got to hurry. Almost done. Point number two. When you give, you are remembering where God brought you from. Every time you take out a wallet, a dollar, a dime, $2, it's not because you're trying to do something. You are remembering. God, thank you. Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. I remember when I didn't have no AC. Anybody know what I'm talking about up in here? I remember when I had that Italian food. It was called Roman noodles. Come on now. Who knows what I'm talking about up in there? With the little packets. Come on, anybody. You know, I was so poor back when I was in college, I couldn't even afford the Roman noodles. You know what I'm saying? All I could afford is a bag of grits and garlic bread. You know how bad a combination that is? It kills your dating life. Amen. Grits and garlic bread, baby. Let me tell you what happens. When we give, we say to God, I acknowledge your hand in sustaining me. When we give, we say, God, I thank you that you have sustained me. But the opposite is also true. When we don't, we say, God, I sustain myself. When we hold back giving because we're afraid or fearful, we say, God, I don't trust you. Or I don't trust the church. We can't be like that because it is God who gave it to you. And so here's what, I love what it says. There was a feast that was designed to help people remember what they came from. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 17. And it's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread. And there's a credible story and truth to this passage. Let me read it. Can we all read this together, shall we? Celebrate. You see, he says, this festival is to remind you that I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of bondage. I want you to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But I think you need to understand why that feast is so important. You see, on the day of Passover meant they would take the blood of the lamb and put blood over the doorposts. And the Bible says that the days of Egypt and Moses, God said this angel of death is going to pass by. But if there's blood on the doorpost, death can't touch you. How many know that there's blood of the lamb covers this church? The blood of the lamb covers our life. The blood of the lamb saves us and changes us. The blood of the lamb was over the doorpost, and the angel of death had to keep on moving, somebody. Hello, somebody. The Bible said, Jesus said, that death can't hold you. Death, where's your sting? Hell, where's your victory? Death can't touch you if the blood is over your doorpost. In the Old Testament, it was a literal doorpost. So God, here's what God said to the people. He says, listen, because I'm about to take you out tonight, he says, I want you to sit at but not with any chairs. I want you to stand around the table. And I want you to eat the food like you're about to go. You ain't gonna have time. He says, now, I need you to bake bread, but the problem is I don't want you to put any yeast in it. Because if you put yeast in the bread, it's gonna take time to rise. But how I'm gonna deliver you, there ain't gonna be enough time for the bread to rise. So he says, I want you from this day on to understand that I delivered you before the bread even got hot. Somebody say amen. So he says, from this generation on, I want you to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread because they couldn't put yeast in it because they weren't around in bondage long enough to eat the bread that rose because of the yeast. It had to stay flat because God brought them out of bondage. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason the Feast of the Unleavened Bread is important to you and I, it's because God is saying, I brought you out of something. And I need you to understand the feast. And so the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they were to celebrate, but he put a condition on them. Go to Exodus 34 again. Exodus 34, verse 18. I love this. Exodus 34, verse 18. He says, you must celebrate the festival of unleavened bread. For 7 days, the bread you eat must be made without yeast, just as I commanded you. Celebrate this festival annually at the appointed time in early spring in the month of Abib. That's about right now. For that is the anniversary of your departure from Egypt. And I love what it says. And he says, the firstborn of every animal belongs to me, including the firstborn of your males, herds of your cattle and flocks and sheep and goats. He says, listen, I want you to give me something. Because of what I've done for you, remember what we're saying, because of what I've done for you, I want you to give me your first fruit, the very best of your flock. Ladies and gentlemen, many of us as church people, we were never raised to be taught that. We were always told, you give something. But that's the problem with Cain and Abel. Cain gave out of his flock to God. Abel gave the best of his flock to God. We can't wait till we have a little bit of money left over. We should give God right off the top. Hey, Lord, I want to give this to you. It's the first fruit of my offering. Because in doing so, God then blesses. And I'm going to tell you, and here's what God's expectation is. Go to verse 20. I want you to see what it says at the end of 20. Everyone read this together. Did you see that? He says, nobody should ever come before the Lord. And I know this for me and my family. I will never come before the Lord without an offering. Why? Because I know what he delivered me out of. I know it had to be fast to get me out of what I was in. It wasn't a long time. He saved me overnight. How many lives changed overnight when you gave your life to Jesus? He didn't have time to play with you. Come on, somebody. Some of y'all were so deep in sin, y'all were sinking. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the distant shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters now save am. Come on. What did it? Love. Come on, everybody. Lovely. Come on, sing. When good help. Now you know the word sing. Come on. Let's say. No, not yet. There we go. Come on now. I love old church. Amen. We have to have the attitude. Attitude is everything. Look at your neighbor and say, attitude is everything. Look at him again and say, don't give me no attitude. Paul laid out a statement about the attitude of giving. Let me show you 2 Corinthians 9:7. We're almost done, ladies and gentlemen. Just bear with me just a little bit longer. 2 Corinthians 9:7, he says this. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. No, the church determines what you should give. The pastor will determine what you should give. How many have ever heard you're supposed to give a certain amount? How does that line up with that? You each must what? In your how much, you must decide. It can be a lot or less, but you got to decide. Pastor can't make that choice for you. And don't give or. See, this is a no pressure. You can't give to God because someone said, well, if you don't give, how many have heard this? You are cursed with a curse. Even this whole house a curse. Anybody heard that? Anybody ever heard? If you don't give, you're cursed with a curse. You're cursed. I mean, who wants to give? You know what I'm saying? The one day you forget to give, you're like, oh, God, my nail's going to fall off. Oh, that's why he went bald. Curse with a curse. Curse. You don't know your daddy. Look what Paul says. For God, read. Attitude is everything. So then, if the Old Testament isn't talking, there was an Old Testament thing called tithing, which you were to give 10% of your crops and flocks. Yes, I understand that. That was crops and flocks. Everybody said crops and flocks. That wasn't money. Do you understand they had money in the Old Testament? That was crops and flocks. Everybody say crops and flocks. Tithing was only crops and flocks. Even in the New Testament, Jesus said, you ought to tithe. And what did he say? Mint, cumin, and anise. That was crops. So where'd the money come from? No, he had a prescription for giving money in the Old Testament. Let me read it to you. Exodus 35, verse 4. Making some people mad, some people scared. It's okay. Just hold on. Exodus 35, verse 4. Then Moses said to the whole community of Israel, this is the lawbringer, the same one who talked about tithing being crops and flocks, same dude, is now about to tell you what to do with your money. Moses said to the whole community of Israel, this is what the Lord commanded. This wasn't optional. This wasn't either or. This is a command. Watch what he says. Take a sacred offering to the Lord. Now, here's what he calls a sacred offering. You need to know this. This is how you give today. This is how you know that what you're offering is sacred or it's just fluff. Don't waste your giving. Did you hear what I just said? Don't waste your giving. Let your giving become sacred. This is how. Let those with a heart present their following gifts to the Lord. Gold, silver, and bronze. He says, listen, if you have a generous heart, your gift becomes sacred. You have a stingy heart? Womp, womp, womp. That's Hebrew. Womp, womp, womp. Sacred. Womp, womp, womp. Sacred. Womp, womp, womp. Look at verse 21. And all those hearts were stirred, and it tells us who gave. And all whose hearts were stirred, and whose what? Were moved, came and brought their sacred offerings to the Lord. They brought all the material needed for the performance of it, and for the, listen guys, sometimes, you know, I've seen churches have to cajole churches to give. You know, listen, we want you to give because if you give, we can help an orphanage in Africa and we can do this. Listen, you know, we need to turn the lights on. We need good toilets that work. Hello, somebody. For the performance of its rituals, for the tabernacle, for the sacred garments, they gave because their hearts were open. Verse 22, watch this. Everyone read these, please. Go. Ladies and gentlemen, God is looking for a willing heart. Are you willing or unwilling to give? I want you to take out a dollar, if you will. I'm not going to ask for it. Just hold it up in the air. Hold it up in the air. This is a $5 bill right here. If you don't have a dollar bill, just take out a $20 or a $100 bill. I know you have it. Because the offering gets all the ones, so I know you got a $5 in there somewhere. I'm just playing. That was a good joke. Anyway. Hold this up in the air, and do you remember that late night back in the day when it was black and white television and we had to click the channels? How many remember that when you click the channels? You remember that UHF and they had, you know, all the dip con? There used to be an announcement that comes on every now and then. The logo would pop up and it would say, this is a test. This is a test of the emergency broadcasting system. If this had been an actual emergency, you would have been instructed to turn to your emergency channel. This is only. What you do with this matters. But ladies and gentlemen, he doesn't need this. This is only a test. You can give it if you want. I'm not going to tell you. You can't give it on the altar if you want. Anyway. What will you invest your life in? Let me close with this last point. Number three, when you give, you are acknowledging God as the source of your future prosperity. There was another feast that's going to explain that. We should bring before the Lord in proportion to how God has blessed us. Ladies and gentlemen, God blesses everybody in different ways, but we should give according to the way that the Lord has blessed us. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 34, verse 22. And there's another feast called the Feast of Weeks. The Feast of Weeks. And it gives us good insight into giving. And here's what it says in Exodus 22. It says, you must celebrate the festival of harvest with the first crop of the wheat harvest and celebrate the festival of the final harvest at the end of the harvest season. Three times every year, a man in Israel must appear before the sovereign, the Lord, the God of Israel. Three times a year, every male had to go into Jerusalem and appear before the Lord. And you know what they had to do? 3 years, they had to take a tenth of all they had and bring it in food form into Jerusalem and sit before God and eat it before him. A tenth of everything they gained that year. Why do you think he did that? He did it to remind them that, listen, sometimes we don't know how much God has blessed us. He says, I want you to take just the 10% of what you have, and I want you to eat it so you can see for yourself, man, that's a whole lot of food. He wanted us to remember that God blessed us, and they were to bring in proportion to how God blessed them. So if they had a great year, they should bring what? A great offering. If they had a bad year, they bring a not so great offering. But everyone was given something. Say that again. Everybody was given something. And God says, I want you to give in proportion to how you were blessed. Let me go to 1 Corinthians 16:1 and show you what Paul had to say about this. I want you to read this with me. Everyone, read. Even so do ye. Verse 2. Upon the first day, do you see that? Everyone is to bring an offering to God as God has prospered you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've got a business and you're wealthy, you should be giving more than the person who has a small home with five children. The person with a small home and five children should be giving more than the person who's living in a stay and save. The person in a stay and save should be giving more than the person that's dead. Everybody should be given in proportion to how God has. Watch this. I love this. Look at verse 3. And when I come, whoever you shall approve by your letters, then will I send to bring your liberality back to Jerusalem, to the church. Let me go back as we close, and I want to say this to you. What will you invest your life in? There's one last verse, and we'll close out with that. Either I will master money, or money will master me. But you cannot serve. Look at Luke 16:13. Here's what he says. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon was an old Greek term for a devil. It was also used to represent money, the god of money. You cannot serve God and the god of money. You must take your test and lay it at the feet of the true God. Here's, many of us have tried to do that. We tried to choose who our master would be. But my challenge to you this week is this. I want you to commit. Write this down, please. Here's my challenge to you, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to commit to increasing your stewardship. I want you to commit to increasing your stewardship through giving and serving. Giving and serving. What will you do with the things that God has entrusted to your life? Your time, your talents, your treasure. They're not actually yours. God gave you your life. Your time is his. God gave you talents. They're on loan from him. God gave you the capacity to earn, and all that you do earn ultimately comes from him because you're the manager and he's the master. What will you do with what you've been given? I hope you receive this word today as you take this challenge. Here's my suggestion. Wherever you are in managing your time and your talents and your treasures, I want you to take a step forward from there. If you've never given, give your first gift to the church today and see what happens. If you've never given, if you're a sometimes giver, decide today to become a regular giver. And if you're a regular giver, determine to give above and beyond. Now listen to me. Stewardship is not just about money. You have time and talents you can be using for God and for what he needs you to do. They're not substituted from another. That you have both. You have time and you have talents. You have money and you have time. Could you do some things around the church? How many are good with their hands in our church? Let me see your hand up if you're good with your hands. Can you help construct? Can you help clean? Can you help do something in the church and ministry? God's challenging you this week. Don't just sit on your gift. Put it to work. Has he ever done anything for you? Is he the God of your future? Then you can give of what you have today. Do you love how many love children and willing to invest in their lives? How many love kids? Look at how many people. Let me tell you something. Our children's ministry is in need of loving leaders. We need more leaders in our kids' ministry than almost any other ministry in our church. So if you have that talent, that gift, God is calling you and challenging you to come to the back of the church during Sunday morning. Serve one service and then grow in one service and let God use you. How many have a knack for computers and multimedia and online ministry? Who's good with computers in here? We've got a tech ministry, a tech team that could use you. Maybe you're good with making people feel welcome. How many just like shaking hands and smiling? Anybody just like to smile? How many got good breath? Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Minty fresh. How many are minty fresh? Raise your hand if you're minty fresh. Turn to your neighbor and breathe in their face and let them tell you. No, I'm just kidding. The truth will set you free. No. Listen, we need greeters and ushers. Wayne, raise your hand in the back. Everybody look back there and say, hey, Wayne. See Wayne. Wayne is in need of great people who are willing just to smile and greet people as they come through the door. We need great greeters, parking guys who will park a car and smile and make somebody's first day the best day of their life here at Frontier. So if you've never served in church before, stop by the tent, volunteer to serve somewhere in the church. Somebody say amen. Come on, let's give God a great hand clap.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm so glad you listened to the last message, and I hope it blessed your life. Listen, we would enjoy if you came out and participated with us every Sunday morning at 1335 Marshall Drive. We have services at 9 o'clock and 11, child care. It's awesome. Kids will love it. And if you can't make it on Sunday alone or you like to make it on another night, on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, we have Bible Encounter, in which we actually go into the Word, and you can ask questions and begin to grow as your family. Hey, I just want you to know we're so glad that you're tuning in and learning and growing. And as we always say here at Frontier Church, pursue purpose. We believe God's got some great things for you. Take care.